And if we could just remain standing for a moment of silence for all those people that are in the armed services around the world and in this country, and also our first responders, both fire, emergency, and police officers that put themselves in the line of duty every day.
Charles Kirk.
All right. So the first thing on our agenda tonight is a public hearing, and it's the adoption of the local law that was yet to be named of 2025, and it's to override the tax levy limit of 2%. That's been in place for 12 to 15 years. I've been on the board for 8 years, and this is the first time we've considered this, and I'm looking forward to hearing all of your comments, but I want to just tee things up as to why we're considering this year. We don't know that we're going to go over the tax cap, but we just want to have that in our toolbox as we continue on with the budget process. And the reason, just like everybody else's life gets more expensive, so have things for the town of Sweden. If we stay within the tax cap, it truly is our goal to do that. But that would allow us to increase our budget by a total of $131,988, otherwise known as $132,000. We've been notified if we don't make any changes to our health insurance plan that those premiums will go up 24% this year for the full-time employees that choose to stay on our plan. That's about $60,000. We've been notified by New York State that the New York State retirement is going to go up about 14%. Again, we have no control over that. That's $44,000. We gave a number of pay increases during 2025, and also are giving smaller pay increases during 2026. That will cost us, including all the FICA and Medicare and those things, $160,000. We were notified that our liability insurance is going to go up at least 15%. That's another $25,000. That's due, just like your homeowners or car insurance or any insurances that you have, it's due to the fact of the ever-increasing replacement costs on our buildings, on our trucks, and all of that. And those numbers alone come to $284,000. That doesn't count the individual line items that also are going up for general cost increases for parts, blacktop, utilities, fuel. Those have all increased in price. And truly, since COVID, we've really tried to stay within the 2% tax cap, and we've succeeded. But in a lot of ways, you just get to the point where you can't stay within that anymore. When I mentioned the $284,000, that would equal, instead of the 2% tax cap, we would be at about 4.3. I can tell you right now that we are working hard. Heidi Leibrock and myself have reviewed the budget several times. We, in our last iteration, we cut out $150,000, and we will continue to work on that. But we felt at this time, and I know that we're not the only municipality in Monroe County that's doing this, we just want to have this, like I said, in our toolbox. Can I tell you how much, if any, there will be an overage? I can't tell you at this point in time. We would know that by the public hearing that we will hold on October 28th before we approve the final budget, whether or not we've had to go over the tax cap. So I would, and I would also just like to say, we know that our residents' budgets, home budgets, are stretched by the cost of living increases. I know on my own personal home that my school taxes this year went up 4.8%, and for a piece of property I own in the town of Clarkson, those school taxes went up 7.2%. So we understand that, and that's why we've always stayed within that 2% tax cap, except, Karen, I think you've said twice, we've gone over it in the year since it's been in place. So I would like this to be as productive as possible. So if you would like to speak, I'll call on your name, but if you would give me your name and your address in the town of Sweden, and then if you would address the town board, that would be helpful to us. We just want to listen to your comments and get your input as we move forward. So the first people I have here are John Kasson and Sandra Kasson, whichever one of you would like to speak first.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Was the speaker supposed to put their name on a special list?
Sure. Do you want to still do that, John?
Yes.
Okay. And you know what? Once I get done with this list, I'm going to call on people anyway. So don't worry about it. Okay. John?
Okay. So, like many people, when I saw the notice that this might be happening...
Can you just give us your address, please?
Gary Direct, 173 Gary.
Yes, please.
Okay. So, I wasn't happy, like many people weren't, but I thought, okay, there might be a good reason behind it. So, this is an email I sent to the supervisor asking what triggered the need, what was the likelihood it would be exceeded, and how much above 2% is being considered. This email was sent September 16th. Tonight's the first I've had an answer. I'd like to remind the board something they need to keep in mind. Stuff like this is going to impact whether or not people want to live in Sweden. In the last census, you lost 6.5% of your population. So I would encourage the board, along with the school district and the village, it's not just the town, I admit that, that's absolutely correct. They need to get things under control, be more open with what's going on and why. So tonight, I urge you to vote no, but based on past experience, I'm sure it's going to pass.
Yep.
Thank you.
Sandra, sure.
Hi, Sandra Kasson, 173 Gary Drive. I appreciate what you just talked about, but I have a few questions myself. 2% seems like a small amount for a town to work under. It really does. But I have a different question. How can you not function on the allowed 2% tax levy every year? The town, school district, and village are each guaranteed up to a 2% tax levy increase. The allowable town and school district tax levies raise taxes by 4%. And if you live in the village, it's up to 6%. These are baseline taxes that do not even include the numerous capital improvements taxes, such as for the school pool. I wonder how many residents get a guaranteed 4 or 6% net raise in their yearly income to pay just for the baseline taxes. If they are not getting pay increases that offset the increased taxes, they must adjust their budgets and spend less each year. While adjusting their budgets, they have to include the ever-increasing expenses for food, shelter, health care, and utilities, just like the town does. It becomes simple math. Residents must have an income that supports their expenditures. This year has seen major changes in assistance for many struggling families. How many families have reached a severe deficit in their budgets due to a lack of yearly increases in pay to offset the ever-increasing taxes? How many residents can no longer afford more in taxes? I heard you just say you're looking at the possibility of 4.3%. Who knows, maybe even more. The state put the 2% tax levy in place to address the constantly increasing taxes. They recognized residents cannot maintain financial stability when they are required to pay more in taxes than they can earn. They also recognized that everyday living expenses must be paid too, not just the taxes. In my opinion, it's time for the town, school board, and village to do as families have done and cut your budgets down to basic needs. Basic, that everybody else, that your residents are doing. Yearly, residents must make ends meet with a 4 to 6% less in their budgets every year to pay the town, school, or village taxes. So, I guess my question again. How can the town not function on a 2% tax levy increase every year when residents are operating on a deficit every year? Finally, in my opinion, it would be refreshing and I feel more productive if board members and residents were able to speak with one another at these hearings instead of residents speaking at you. I feel an opportunity for the board or residents to ask questions and receive answers would be beneficial to all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Don Davis.
Don Davis, Lake Road, Brockport, Lake Road South. It hit me earlier that I've been a taxpayer in this district for doggone near 40 years now. I bought my land in 1986. Years since, I developed the property, put my house out there, made a home, worked hard, paid it off. And I'll say every year has been a struggle trying to get through taxes and life in general. But what really got me with this is that I imagine there's been kind of a windfall for the last 5 years with the real estate market. You don't have to move the rates because the assessments have gone through the roof. This is what bothers me. And you're going after another 2% on top of that added income or added proceeds coming to the government. I understand it doesn't all go to you guys. But it just, as the public, it leaves a real bad taste in our mouth. I'm sorry. If it's me voting, cut programs, cut services, don't raise our taxes anymore. Because it's really hurting everybody. And that's what I got to say. Thank you for your time, and have a good evening, everybody.
Thank you for your comments. Now I have Lauren Williams.
Hi,
Lauren. Hi. How are you? And what's your address?
151 Evergreen Road in Brockport. And I agree with, I have the same points that this lady had and the gentleman had about with inflation, we're all feeling the stress of that. But if I went to my boss and said, you know what, I need a 4.3% increase over what you were planning on giving me before, he would laugh at me. So I've got to live within my budget, and that goes along with what this lady was saying. And assessments have increased dramatically over and over and over again. So you're already getting increased revenue.
Can I just comment on that? We really want to just listen and not make comments, but that is incorrect. So we don't get a windfall when we raise the assessments. We lower the tax rate. And when I say that we can, to stay within the 2%, we're going to get $132,000, that is all we get. So if your assessment went up 10%, and if everybody did the same thing, your tax rate comes down enough to stay within that 2%. We don't get a windfall from raising our assessments. Do you know why we stay up on the assessments? So there's a lot of rules and regulations to this. So we want to stay above 95% of the fair value, because if we don't get as much sales tax, which helps us keep your property taxes low. Our property tax levy is only about 30 to 40% of our budget. So we do get sales tax, we get mortgage recording tax. If we don't up those assessments, we don't get all of that. You know who it really impacts if we don't do that? They cut the STAR exemptions for our seniors if you don't stay above that. I just want to comment on that.
I understand that, but now you're asking to go above that 2%. So you're already getting more from the assessments increasing, and now you're asking.
That's what I'm saying. We don't get more because of the assessments increasing. We don't. But carry on.
Okay. Also, as a village resident, there are certain services that are provided outside the village that aren't provided to village residents who pay both village tax and town tax. For example, the spring trash pickup. We don't get the opportunity to get rid of our tires and things like that, and yet we're paying those same taxes that people outside of the village are paying. Are there services that the town of Sweden is providing to village residents that aren't already provided by the village taxes?
So there's two different tax rates. One is outside the village and one is town-wide. So if you don't have certain services within the village, you don't participate in those expenses. So is there a duplication of services between the village and the town? I don't believe so. Like they come and pick up, and I don't live in the village, so you can correct me if I'm wrong. But for example, now I understand they're coming around once a month, every couple of weeks, to pick up your brush and things.
Where?
In the village.
Oh.
And so I that's within your services there and within your village tax rate. You don't pay for the spring and fall cleanup if you live in the village.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And I know there's a huge difference. We just moved relatively recently from Genesee County. I know there's a huge difference between Genesee County and Monroe County taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But we're currently paying double what we were paying in Leroy, and Leroy is known for high taxes.
Thank you. All right, the next person I have is, I can't read this, Joe, and I don't know what the rest of this says.
Reed Road?
I don't have a road. What's your last name?
Malizia.
That could be this.
So.
What's your address?
1597 Reed Road.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in this county area since I was born. I built my house in 89 on Reed Road. Paying all the taxes, just like everybody else. One thing that bothers me is, so you raise the budget, the capital assessments, this, that. Well, Brockport School District last year got audited and had a giant excess in their budget. And the increase of this is just going to increase their budget more. And where's that money going? In town, Brockport School District. And when I came here, because my kids have been went to school here, mm-hmm. Right now there's over a third less students, and you know that,
mm-hmm.
that are going to Brockport School versus when my kids went to school. But still, they need more and more money. This has gotten ridiculous.
You know that we don't have any control over the school
budget. I know, but when you raise your capital assessment and your budget, it goes to them also.
I understand.
So is there a possibility you could just do a capital assessment on equipment to the to the townspeople versus raising your capital assessment?
I'm not sure what you're saying.
So, like in any budgets, companies and stuff mm-hmm. like that, you have capital assessments mm-hmm. for like equipment.
Right.
Can you split off from that, just do a capital assessment for equipment, and this way not distribute it to the school where they're already having access? You should be able to do that.
I'm not sure what you mean. So we take, when we buy capital, we buy that out of our reserves that we can't use for operations.
Correct.
So the way the school budget and their 2% formula is different from ours. I won't pretend that I have a full understanding of that, but we don't assess our taxpayers separately for what we need for capital. It's all part of the budget so that we have enough for our capital improvements and our equipment. I'm not sure I'm answering your comment.
You're not. So... In any big corporation or company, there's capital assessments, and then there is the regular, burden that you have on a company.
Right.
So a capital assessment is to buy equipment.
Yes.
So like a truck, plows, stuff like that, you can raise a tax levy just for capital, and then eliminate the school from having that extra levy onto the town.
I don't think that's how that works, but I will check into that for you.
I'm sure that's how that works.
Okay.
So the big thing is, though, like the student population's gone less than a third since 95 even.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now you got 15 students per classroom, but yet we got same amount of schools open that are burning the same amount of fuel, same amount of this, same amount of that. You raise our assessments, the taxes go equally to the school. And last year they were audited with how much assessment extra? Yeah, it was ridiculous. And they got this big, huge, giant pile of money still sitting there, and you keep raising our taxes, and half of it goes to them. I don't agree with that.
Okay.
And also,
can I ask a question? This has nothing to do with the school.
No, we have nothing. That's what I made that comment. We have no control.
I know it doesn't go to the school, but if you raise your percentage, and the assessments that we've been seeing, that still goes to the school.
They use those increased assessments.
Yeah.
And they don't lower their rates the way that we do. I have no, we have this town board.
I see you got, you guys are doing great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm not chewing at you. I just don't like the way how the distribution's going.
I agree with you, and I, but I think it's beyond our.
That's why I was thinking maybe you can offset, like maybe going for your 4%, whatever you needed to go to raise, put out just a capital, and this is where we're at for a capital assessment.
Yes, we'll take that under advisement.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Did anyone else? I think John, you said you might want to speak here at the end. Who else would like to speak at this public comment? I'm going to let other people who haven't talked first go. Okay. And your name?
John Egan, 456 Shumway, since 1968. I guess a couple of comments. All the reasons you came up with for you to sit here and say this is going to be proactive, we don't know that we're going to do it, you're going to do it. I just sat there and listened.
Yeah.
I just sat there and listened. We wouldn't have this meeting. So. I can't say I'm insulted by that comment, but to say that, to me, it's a little misleading.
Can I tell you that a lot of municipalities pass this every year, and they don't use it. I think we've come to the conclusion.
I'm not criticizing that. I'm just saying to make that comment that we don't know that we're going to do it, I think it's pretty clear from all the cost increases that it's going to happen. And then I have a question. Is this for just 26, or is this from now till?
You're correct. Once we raise that, it won't go back down. So right. Say in.
So I trust you, people. I trust you. You know, I look up here and I say, geez, I trust them. But boy, the political climate can change, and we've written a blank check. And I do not want to write that blank check. Also, I own 30 acres with my home that backs up the Talamora Trail. Those people enjoy having vacant land behind them. And I tell Johnson, I said, he wants to buy some off me. I said, you don't have to. I have it, and I will never develop it. But if the tax situation continues to climb, I will develop it. And every one of those people will be fighting me to develop that, not to develop it. And I have no intent of developing. I plan to die without developing that land. I purchased it so it would be forever wild without my town having to do that. Because I don't think that's their responsibility. The next thing, I worked in business for 40 years, 30 of it in management. And I worked for a company that did something crazy. Every 2 years, they said, you got to cut your workforce 10%. And everybody was like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? It's the end of the world. We cut 10%, efficiency increased, pet projects went away, costs went down, profit went up. And people that probably you'd like to get rid of anyways because they're not towing the line went away. It was all good. I implore you to cut people. Everything you said was people, 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 people. And that doesn't go away. They go from being paid and having medical insurance to being retired and having pensions, which, by the way, I never had.
Right.
Lucky
right.
I would save my communion money. But I hope you vote. And I'd like to take a straw poll. Whose idea was this? Was this yours?
Well, you can't take a straw poll.
Okay, thank you.
But,
I mean, I'm sitting here looking 60%, so three of you have to vote yes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I
do.
So. Okay.
And that forever part.
So we are not taking this lightly in any way, shape, or form. So that's all I can say. You're not wrong that it's...
I wish this was something that was a referendum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because I trust you that you will not just raise taxes and build a new highway garage, a new fire department garage, and You know,
that this will not give us that kind of money, I can assure you.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? I trust you won't do that.
You're right.
Rides down, they gotta do one.
Yeah.
But 5 years from now, the political climate, when my Social Security hasn't gone up.
Yeah. When people's Social, never mind, I don't like to make these kind of
things. Thank you.
I appreciate that.
And I apologize if I insulted you with that.
You didn't. But thank you for your comments. So did I have a hand up over here?
Yeah, I'll go real quick. I apologize for being late.
Oh, you're fine.
31 was brutal. Mark Rabjohn from West Sweden. So one thing about me, I'm just more about statistics. That's all. I really kind of want to just sometimes provide and I can leave before I hear. Actually, I'm in the throes with you. I haven't, you know, you guys are getting killed over here. I'm in the same thing. 39 on top, 312 employees. I got to make things shuttle. It's very challenging, especially with workers' comp and all these other insurance going through the roof. So I feel for you. I get it. But just, I guess I'm just one. I just want to just present some ideas. Just to keep in mind, if you pass it but you don't use it, I get it. You know what I'm saying? But just to be, if you can kind of tame it down, I found it interesting. I just read a couple of things here. Takes. I kind of want to just kind of get a relative that just based on the census, this was as of August of 25, so this is pretty, can't get much more current than that. What the median household income is in the town of Sweden, and what the average mortgage payment is per month and or rent, it came to 34.9% of your income goes to your household. And just once you go over 28, you start to get in trouble. And I'm a triple economics guy. That, you know, the money starts to go disappear. People aren't going to move out of the house. They're just not going to go out and spend money at, you know, barbers or wherever. You know, I like my beer. I'll go to barbers for once. We're out to dinner. You go by some of these restaurants besides fast food, you don't see the income coming in. So I just want to just raise it that we're at that top already, and it could just leave a longer effect of economic challenges in the community. But I guess the one thing, I've always, you know, my family, older and all this and that, and I say things wrong, I'm obviously there, but I'm really big in with the elder community and in that, but I found it interesting that this was that poverty level and the this blew my mind when I printed out that Sweden is 25% higher than Monroe County with poverty. If this is keep it, I don't know, I'm just gonna throw it around. 21% of people underneath households with kids under 18 are poverty, and seniors over 65 are 11%. So there's some pretty challenged folks out there right now today, just to kind of be wary of that. But I definitely understand how things are. I just want to just present some stuff like that, that, yeah, puts a tighter in something. You know, about the services, whether it be cutting an hour at the Sweden Rec Center before, morning and night, I don't know, utility savings. Don't mow the grass in the cemetery as much, I don't know. I don't think the occupancy here. Occupants that live there are going to be upset that the grass is growing a little deeper. But because I think Brian does a great job. Those cemeteries look great. So just sometimes maybe that nickel and dime can just help the trickle effect. So I just want to bring that up. It's just awareness of all that. But thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay.
Michelle Johnson up on Shumway Road. Are you on Shumway Road? I came here unprepared because I wasn't really sure what to expect. It was very kind of vague, like, we're just going to put the tax cap on, you know, vote, and it seemed like it was going to happen. I just want to say thank you to everybody that came prepared with a lot of great information, and, you know, like, I wanted to learn something and figure out what's going on here. I was actually led to believe that, just through grapevine stuff, that this was a good thing. I don't know where that came from. So, like everybody else, I agree, and nobody wants your taxes raised, you know? So, cut what you got to, and don't raise taxes.
Okay, someone big here.
My name is Michelle Prince. I live on Carolyn Drive. I am one of the newer, I would say, compared to everyone else who's owned their homes for years and years and years. I just bought the house in 2018. Before that, we did live in Rockport, but we rented. I don't have a family legacy to work off of. It's just my income. I'm a single parent, and the taxes are making it very difficult for me. I have a child who just graduated from high school, so he's not 18 yet, and I also have my mom who lives with me, who is a senior. So I come into both of those demographics with the young children and older, and we are struggling. I don't know, and I really love to be here. I moved here because my oldest daughter went to college, and she was having issues with, you know, college life, so I moved here so that she could stay home. With all of the increases in taxes, and I understand it's separate, and I get all that with the school and all that, but at the same time, I only have what I have. Mm-hmm. And if I don't get a raise, there's no more that I can pull from. Mm-hmm. I'm already deep in debt and credit just because I'm trying to continue to pay my mortgage, which I am over 35%. My monthly income is less. You know, I'm working off of bare minimum at this point. I'm running on fumes. I'm trying my best. But again, it's really difficult, and I understand you have to make ends meet as well, but I do too. And if these keep increasing, and if this happens, I know like the gentleman up there said, you know, different politics come into play. Who knows what could happen in years to come if this is taken away. I don't think I would survive. So you're going to lose a lot of young people. I'm not really young, but newer homeowners here in the area, you're going to lose that. I now have my grandkids who live with me who are now starting school. I have a 5-year-old grandchild who's starting the Rockport School up there right now. So it's really difficult because we're trying to live in one home and trying to make it work. Multiple incomes coming in, and it's still, we're struggling. So I put that out there, and not in a what you can do and how you can make it better. I have no idea what you need to do. I can't even offer a suggestion to you. I can just say that I have no more suggestions in my household to make it work. I've never come to a town meeting. This is my first town meeting, only because this is something that is, I've been struggling with. When I bought a home, I didn't realize, to be honest, I didn't realize everything that came along with buying a home. And I did have savings, and I got let go from my job 2 years ago, so I was out of work for a while. It just, everything seemed to compile, and I can't be the only one that is struggling. I mean, maybe my situation's a little special, but I cannot be the only one that's struggling in our town. I already have some issues with the town, just based on, you know, demographics and things of that nature, but I just can't continue. If it was to increase, I can't. And I don't want to have to foreclose on my home or sell my home. This is something that I was trying to purchase to have a legacy to pass down to my children. This is our first doing this. We have nothing, you know, I'm the first to buy a home in my family.
Congratulations.
So, I want to keep it though.
Yes.
Is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It means a lot to me. It means a lot to my children and my grandchildren. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Very much. Would anyone else like to speak? I haven't forgotten that you wanted. Yes, go ahead.
My name is Kenneth Klein. I live over on Holly Street. Where did all these notices come from? I got nothing in the mail.
So we didn't send anything in the mail. It's published in the, we have our legal notices is in the Westside News.
Okay.
And that's what the notifications that people are talking about. We don't send out notices for public hearing unless it's going, there's like rezoning or something that you're very close to, in a close proximity to. But we follow all the legal notices and notifications that we're required to. Karen, as the town clerk, takes care of all that, and she's very good at knowing what needs to be done.
So that's the official where I would find something?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And there is a digital version if it's not being delivered to your house anymore. So all our legal notices are in there every week if we have one. So, okay. All right.
Just got a quick question. I live on White Road.
Mm-hmm.
Where did this 2% come from to begin with? So, is that a voted in thing? Or?
That's a state law.
State law. So how can you override the state law?
Because there's provisions in there allowing us to. And if you read the...
So can someone take this council to court over that?
No, we follow the right process. So we're changing, which is allowed under that law. We're allowed to put this into our code that we want to go over the 2% tax cap. We have to pass this law every year. Just because we're doing it this year doesn't mean that we have that in our code and we can do it without this kind of process again. So it only covers the 2026 budget that we want to go over the 2% tax cap. And then those provisions are allowed, but we have to follow this process. We can't put that into our code without a public hearing and listening to all of you and then voting on it like we do any local law. But it is a state law, but it has provisions in it that allow us to go over that cap.
Have you, people on council, foresee a project and put money towards that project?
Yes.
Year after year until you can pay for that all at once, right?
So we have reserves for our, like, we have a number of reserves. That was part of the audit over at the school that didn't go so well. But our reserves are for, like, building and grounds. We have a park reserve. We have equipment reserves for the highway department. And we do put money aside each year in those so that those capital expenditures are more leveled out.
Is it public?
How much is in those reserves?
Yes.
All of it's public.
It's all public. Yes. Where can we see that at?
You can, so our reserve amounts.
I think it's on your website.
A lot of the information's online.
Yeah, if you click on the, so if you go on our website, click on the finance department, I believe you're going to find those things. But if not, just call. She's on vacation today, but the finance director or anyone here, and we will get that information for you.
So I worked at Eastman Kodak for 40 years.
Yes.
You know, things got tough at the end.
They did.
And they started, we had to start paying for our health care. Mm-hmm. We lost our bonus. And it went downhill all the time. Now, I don't know what you guys do for medical, but you pay, is that all paid out or do you pay part of it?
We pay part, but we're looking at that. If we can find better options for our employees at a lower cost to the town, we've hired a new broker to help us through that process. But
I'm sure you look at all the possibilities to cut money.
We really do.
It's a
balancing act.
Absolutely. It's tough.
Yes.
I mean, it's tough for all these people. We're all retired. Mm-hmm. Set income. Everything keeps on going up.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm trying to get my wife back to work. What do you think she's doing now?
Okay. I'm going to call on this woman, ask to speak again. First of all, I want to make sure anybody who hasn't spoken gets a chance to speak if they would like to. Okay?
I just have a question. I know with the assessments going up.
Tell us your name and where you live, please.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Emily, I'm on South Avenue in Brockport.
Okay.
With the assessments, when they went up twice, you were capped at 2%, is what you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you not make money if, say your assessment is 100,000, the next year it's 160? You do see an increase from that.
You don't.
How?
Because your taxes have two factors. One is your assessed valuation, and one is the rate of tax. So if we can only raise your this income by $132,000, you lower that rate so that your taxes come within that 2% tax cap. Now, if your house was, so the town of Sweden has been very good about, and probably people think it's painful, but because we do our assessments quite regularly for all the reasons I stated, we're kind of raising everyone's assessment at the same time. For example, and not to pick on them, the town of Clarkson didn't do a reassessment for a long time. So your assessment might have gone up 25% and somebody else's went up 12%. So that makes it not quite completely mathematically the way I'm explaining it. But if everybody's goes up the same 10%, we lower that rate down so that our tax levy only goes up by 2%. That's what we've been doing every year but 2% since this went into effect. Do you, Jim or Karen, remember when the 2% tax cap went into effect? Do you have an idea of how many years it's been? This is my 8th year here.
It was before 2013.
It's been 10 to 15 years ago.
Yeah, okay, so that's about what I thought. It was about 12 to 15, so I think we're in the same range. And did I answer your question?
Yeah. If you pass it and you don't use it, what happens to those funds? Because we obviously would be paying, but not...
So we take that into, so say we pass it and
So the budget, well, we have budgeted to use that money. But say we get more sales tax than we put in the budget. We're very conservative with our budgeting. So we take that into consideration as to what we need the next year. And that's where our reserves come from. So we don't actually assess for the reserves to build the reserves. We use the excess that might come in from sales tax and mortgage recording tax. But it's never our intention to overtax people just to build up more reserves. Our reserves are adequate. I mean, we have an IT reserve, and you're more than welcome to look at them. But you can go through those in a big hurry. We have a thing called prevailing wage. When we do any capital project, we have to pay, by New York state law, the union prevailing wage and all their benefits, whether we hire a union contractor or not. So when we build a building or add something on or do remodeling, so we remodeled this. We used half of the money came from ARPA funds, from COVID money, and the other half we had in reserve. And we had to do it for some asbestos removal. We were not ADA compliant and accessible. That's kind of shameful if you're a public building. So we brought it all up to those codes and really did the bare minimum. New air conditioning and heating, that cost us $1.1 million. If you go up to the community center, and we did that again with some COVID money, we added the senior wing, and that cost us $1 million. It's hard to believe such small square footage can cost you that much money, but it's about the prevailing wage. And we have a lot of rules, just like they talk about the mandates from the state and things. We have a lot of those same provisions. We, like the New York State retirement, if somebody has signed up to be in that, and all our employees should be, not the part-time ones don't usually, whatever they decide to bill us, that's what we need to pay for our employees.
So if you do not use it, as you said, mm-hmm. that would at least be something that would be in reserve, so when yes. you look at the budget next year, you don't have to go back to, you know, you can stay the 2% next year.
That's how we yeah. manage to stay yep. within the 2%. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
Okay? Was that helpful?
No, thank you for the clarity. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. It's not easy to understand. She's going to come first, though. She's been waiting very patiently. At first, I'm still going to ask anybody for the first time. Okay. You can go.
Okay. So I just want to clarify on the 2%. The 2%, and this is just kind of going off what she asked, and I just want to make sure I'm understanding it correctly. Mm-hmm. So the 2% is not based on the rate that you charge per 1,000 per assessed value
no.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on your previous oh. year's budget can go up.
If only life were that simple. The 2% tax cap calculation is very long and drawn out. So you have to subtract from your 2% all the increases in taxes that you maybe aren't even across the board. So we have a new water district going in. Only the people in that district will pay for that, but we have to subtract that off the total of the 2%. So that impacts how much. That's how we get to $132,000. We should have more than that. But say your question again. I just want to make sure I'm answering that.
So the 2% is calculated based on the current year's budget, 2% over that, as opposed to 2% over the tax rate that you're charging per
that's right.
assessed
that,
dollar.
Yes. Does that make that probably makes a sense more sense from your previous questions for me? So yes, and it's only 2% of the tax levy. So our budget is $6, $7, $8 million, depending on how much capital we spend. We get about $3 million of that from the tax levy. So it's the tax levy calculation. And we have no control. We don't know how much sales tax will come in. We don't know how much mortgage recording tax will come in. We don't know how much will come in for building permits or things like that. I mean, we have a history and we can budget and we do a good job at that. But it's hard to know. So, yes, that's exactly right. It's over the total tax levy that we get to do that. But it's not as simple as that. But, yes, that is the basis of it.
Okay.
To start with.
Okay. And then right. I just also wanted to point out that you do have two brand new businesses that are going to be bringing in additional
and
tax
so,
revenue.
Yes, but you don't get that tax revenue right away because there's the March 1st tax status date.
So those businesses, we will, and that's part of the calculation. They call it your stick and mortar growth. So as we have that, we can lower our tax levy so that you don't think, we do know that. We take that into consideration. But thank yeah. And the other thing is, I'm hoping they kick in some more sales tax. That will happen. Yes. Traffic is going to be interesting. But that's a different story. Anyway, so I'm going to call on John first. He was...
Quick question, just to clarify. If you pass this local law,
yes.
10 years from now, they can exceed the cap.
No.
This is just for 26.
That's exactly right. If we want to do this again next year, we would have to go through the same process.
Okay,
so I've got one over here.
If this gets done, does that have any ramifications on other state funding supplied to the town?
No. Doesn't. You mean we would get less because we did this?
Yes.
No. We will get still, we don't get a lot of money from the town. We get our, what they call CHIPS money for our road work, and we don't get a lot from the state, but does not impact that. No.
Okay.
No, it doesn't impact our other sources of revenue. I think that's your question.
My understanding at the time was that they were limiting the municipalities to 2%. There would be some detrimental effects if that was exceeded from the state. That was part of the push at the time,
I wish the state would stay within a 2%
tax. Yes.
But we can't fix that, just like we can't fix the school budget. Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, anyone else?
I have another question. So, you're talking, what you are talking for, suggesting, is that this could go double over what it is now. You cannot keep in the budget right now. You cannot just stay under the 2%. What makes you believe that if you take 4 or whatever percent this year, next year with all the rising costs that everybody knows about, how are you going to meet the 2% next year and not ask us for 4% more?
Because we've done it, let's just say, 12 out of 15 years. And once you raise that up, we'll have that same revenue the next year. And, that's the best way I can answer that.
But that's raising it up, and like you're saying, if you don't use it all, then you put it in reserves. Meanwhile, you're taking it out of the pockets of people who really need it, who can make their payments with it at their own homes.
We do our budget as tight as we can. And that's why we haven't had to ask before. I don't feel comfortable asking this at all, but by the same token, like I said at the beginning, whether you believe me or not, we just want this in our toolbox. We don't know how that budget's going to pull all together. We're still waiting for our health insurance costs. We're still waiting on some other numbers to put into this, and we're working on it. If you think we haven't sharpened our pencils, that would be incorrect, and we're going to continue to do that.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying that, as I said before, all the residents have to live with a certain percentage that they make. They're going into a deficit every year, most of them. I know families right now in this area that are really struggling to make their bills. If you double this, if you take the 4, this is really going to impact them. I mean, currently, to my knowledge, you've got 9 properties in the area already that are under foreclosure?
I don't know that number. I'm just going to tell you that I'm, my home, my 2% increase is $19. If that goes to 4%, it'll be $38.
So
it's not doubling your taxes.
Yeah. It's not a whole lot of money.
See, the thing is, and to your point about the school taxes and everything,
that's ridiculous.
Look at all of your taxes. The town of Sweden is this tiny little
thing. Yeah, I know. You paid more in Monroe County than we do to the town.
You do.
You pay the county tax bill. It went up.
Yes, I see.
Last year, it went up by, I'm gonna say mine was less than $50 in difference with the 2% cap. You pay your school tax bill. I just paid the school tax bill, and that went up $200 and some odd.
Correct.
I have no control over that. We as the town have no control over what the school does. But the impact of the tax levy, and correct me if I'm wrong, you'll see on your county tax bill at the beginning of the year.
Yes.
So you know, I looked at what I paid in 24, and I looked at what I paid in January of 25, and the number was, we stayed under the tax levy, but this time we may not. I think that you would want us to be honest with you, but I hear your concerns about cutting services and struggling to keep your own house and things like that. And I'm hearing what you're saying. I have my own children who can't even afford a house.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So we hear what you're saying. It's not like we don't have feelings here, and we don't. You know, I've been a resident here since 1977. I love this place. I raised my kids here. I'm not here to hurt you, but we also have to put a budget together.
And a lot of the services we provide are required by law. We have to have a court. We obviously need to maintain and plow our roads and maintain the buildings and things like that. So cutting back on programs, yeah. We actually have gone down in my tenure here by the number of positions that we have.
Good.
Yeah. Keep at it, is what you're telling us. Yes, I think we're near close to the end of this, but go ahead.
I just want to say you guys are doing a good job. I know how hard it is to put a budget together, because I'm with Brockport Yacht Club, and you got to do one every year. It's, mm-hmm. it's horrible. The reason why a tax cap was put in place by Mario Cuomo was, number one, to stop the exodus of people leaving New York State.
Mm-hmm.
That was why. Because taxes were ridiculous. And that's why the cap was put there, to stop the population from moving south like it's been, and it still is.
It still is, yes.
And you know that, everybody does. It's mm-hmm. kind of obvious.
Mm-hmm. But yet, how much has the state budget gone up?
Well, it's because, you know, you got Albany. What are you going to do with the money?
Again, none of us have control over that.
And proof is, just look at how the attendance in the school dropped.
Yeah.
I mean, you're down over a third just in the last 10 years.
So just at our community center, they don't have anywhere near the summer baseball leagues that they used to. Now, they have more people that are retired that come for services.
Right.
But you're right, the demographic is shifting completely.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like the young people are moving. Yeah. They're not staying.
I have 4 children that do not live in the state of New York. So
I got one that moved to North Carolina. It's like, I got to drive there now. You know, she left because of
it. Yes, yes, exactly. Okay, I just want to say to all of you that I speak, I'm sure, for all of us, that we do hear your comments. We will take them under advisement. I would encourage all of you to come back on October 28th when we do the final budget presentation. And a lot of, when we do that presentation, we explain, like, the assessments versus the rates and those sorts of things. If you're interested in this, you all seem to be very interested in it, that will give you a better understanding. And you will see how our budget turned out. You will also know whether or not we went over that 2% tax cap at that time. But I would very much encourage all of you to come back to that meeting. I would like to see this many people at least at all of our board meetings.
When do we vote on this?
So that is, we would vote probably that same night, is that we'll vote on which, the 2% tax, we're going to vote on it tonight. And so just because we have to keep the budget moving, Jen, so this is our budget schedule. Tonight we'll review the tentative budget is presented to the town board, and then also it needs to be filed with the town clerk. Then we, on the 14th, will make final changes in adoption of the preliminary budget and set the public hearing. After we set that public hearing, we can't make any more changes to the budget. And then on the 28th of October, that's the public hearing and the adoption following the public hearing. And if you picked up an agenda, those dates are on the bottom of that agenda. So, I believe this has been a very informative public hearing. We appreciate your comments, like I said. I'm going to close the public hearing, and we're going to move on with the rest of our agenda. If you'd like to stay, you would find that very educational. So, I'm going to move on to the privilege of the floor. Karen, do we have people that are
signed up? Nobody signed up.
Okay, nobody signed up. We're more interesting than this. It's discouraging.
We're in a whole comment. We have more going on.
Yeah. Be careful. You might stick out.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Give them a minute to filter out. Yeah,
things never change.
Okay, I'm going to carry on. So we have nothing for privilege of the floor. I don't have any correspondence unless anybody else does. And now we're to reports of the board and departments. So Karen, how about you from the town clerk's office?
No report tonight.
Okay, Jim,
keep it short.
No report. All right, so I'm going to give my report first because I've missed a couple of the last months and we waived them for September or August because we were going to the library for their budget presentation. So I've got quite a few items to review, and I just want to make sure that the board is aware of all of these things. Jim and I had our second call today with the New York State DEC. We now know that we need to condemn the building before the DEC can move forward with the demolition and the remediation of that property. I think we'll all do a dance when that is done.
I don't think it's that which building.
The Ace Dry Cleaners.
Yes.
Sorry, thank you. Yep. So Ace Dry Cleaners, it's my favorite topic. And so we are going to propose, there is no condemnation section to our town code. So we are going to propose that at the next meeting, October 14th, we'll have that draft of that law and you'll call for the public hearing on that night. And certainly you'll get that in advance and go from there. But this is moving it one step forward. This is certainly better than a full condemnation process, and we've gotten good advice. Once that happens, then they will schedule the demolition, and I think I've mentioned this before, and then in the spring they'll remediate the soil. That's an ongoing process. I think we'll all be glad when that building's taken down. I hear from it quite a bit. I did meet with Mayor Reed, just a casual informal meeting as to just any connection between the town and the village and any potential to look at any joint services. We've done this with the village for a long time. We own a sewer truck together. I think the street cleaner we own together. There's nothing that's proposed or on the radar screen. It was just an opening conversation. Then next after that, I've got the water district update. I think I've said this before, but the residents' petitions and the public information meeting is the next thing to come. We're supposed to have the resident petitions by the end of this week, and then we can move forward with calling that public information session. I attended the rabies clinic. It was held on August 9th up at the community center. We had at least 250 vaccines that were issued that day. And that's a great public service coordinated by our town hall staff, the Department of Health, and our services from Dr. Edwards and Angel Reed for doing that. It was a great event and a great day. Tyler, you're aware of this. There was a mausoleum grant that was requested that we apply for.
Yep.
And I'm not sure the dynamic of that. It was applied for. We got the application request from Christine Hunt at 4:10 on a Friday, and we completed it before 5 o'clock deadline on Monday. And I'm just curious though, the mausoleum is not under the Farmers Museum. It's under the cemeteries.
It's under the cemeteries. But it's something that I think that needs to be looked at.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm saying it comes from Building the Grounds or Brian as the highway department.
Brian has, Christine kind of did that, but I've already had conversations with Brian regarding that.
Okay, good.
Also, something that we should be, if we get down that road, we ought to start talking about grants and stuff like that. Technically, it's not a mausoleum because a mausoleum is a permanent storage of people who have passed away. It is historically a chapel, and there might be more grants available for such buildings like that if you want to define it correctly. It's not a mausoleum. Mausoleums hold permanent bodies there. It does not hold permanent bodies. It holds bodies when we can't bury the bodies. Once the bodies in the ground is thawed out, we bury them. We should define it how it is, which is a chapel, which may open more avenues for grants.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind. And we had, who helped us with that grant application was MRB, our engineering firm. Mm-hmm. And I'll get to that in a minute, that we're, anything, any project we do, we should talk to them about obtaining grants. And then, I know Gary's going to talk a little bit more about this. I brought up before about the park master plan, and we were hoping to get that done and through before, say, spring of 2026. The interesting part of a park master plan are there's very few people that know how to do them or we can hire to do that. We have a park master plan, but it's 20 to 25 years old. So again, I met with MRB and their grant writing people, and the cost of a park master plan is $60,000 to $80,000. Well, just as the gentleman here tonight said about our poverty level in the town is 14% across the board. That means we could apply for a grant to develop that plan, and the state would pay 50 to 75% of that cost. And so I think that that's the route we should take to get that plan done, but because of the potential for a grant. And but that moves the timeline to gathering the data in the beginning of next year. The deadline for the application is due in July. The grants are awarded in October or November. That would all happen in 2026. The plan itself would not be completed until 2027. And I know that the Recreation Foundation wants that to be done sooner than that, but we don't have the funds to go ahead with that without at least trying for the grants. The other reason to do it through that process is that any projects that come out of that plan, we would also be eligible to apply for 50 to 75% grants. We score more points because we followed that New York State process and applied for the grant for the plan. So I just want to put that out there, and I think that that's the way that we should move forward with that, but that will become be presented at a workshop for the town. But we are not putting money into the 2026 budget to have somebody else. That would cost us like $70,000, and our budget's already so tight. So then the comprehensive plan that I've been talking about too, which is where we look at the zoning and the land use in the town, which hasn't been fully updated in a number of years, and I'm anxious to get to. We just don't want to have an unfeathered expansion in the town, and we want to look at that, and it's quite an undertaking. That comprehensive plan, MRB has a whole planning department, and they've done very well by us. We could do the same thing and get a 50 to 75% grant to do our comprehensive plan, but that's under the same timeline. So I think that we should follow that too, but again, we can discuss that later and in more detail. So the code review committee has been resumed. We had, as of today, we had another meeting, and we brought our two new code enforcement officers into there, our commercial inspector and also the code enforcement officer. It was a very productive meeting. I think we'll all agree to that. We reviewed, firstly, the condemnation rules, and the whole committee went over that, and it is agreement that we should, the town should move forward with that. That's in regard not just to Ace Cleaners, but also future condemnations. We would not take that action lightly. But also, Karen attends those meetings, too, and is very helpful at that. Rob is our code enforcement officer, has brought a number of weaknesses in our rules for property maintenance to our attention, and we're going to keep working on it, but him being the boots on the ground and knowing what can be enforced and can't be enforced is very helpful to the committee. Today I attended a press conference on Main Street, and it's in regard to the bridge. When I'm out talking to the public, it's the one question I'm asked the most is, when will the bridge reopen? I am happy to say that that is in the village and not in the town. But you know what? The village is within the town. And it's not even the village that has jurisdiction over there, but the Canal Corporation. what the press conference was about, and Steve Hawley was there, and Robert Ort were there, and Jackie Smith orchestrated the whole thing. She did a great job. She is requesting that those contractors' fines be, at least some of them, allocated to the businesses that have lost business along Main Street. I know she has also had a talk with the governor herself, and hopefully that action can be taken. Just in case you want to know, the state budget is $254 billion. I think it's gone up. I have to look at those statistics. I think last year it went up 17%. So then, I personally, I'm very much in favor of this. You always wonder where all those SEC fines and airline fines go to. I think that they should go to the people who weren't taken care of because of this. Tomorrow morning is the Seven Brew grand opening, and that's at 10:30. I've had a number of complaints about the traffic issues there. I'm hoping that that will be subside a little when they stop giving out free drinks. Yeah, we're hoping. And then on the next day, on Thursday, and Gary, you're more than welcome as the traffic and safety liaison to join this meeting, is that Chick-fil-A has requested a meeting with myself and the Sheriff's Department, too, especially for their opening days, to have things. You think that is not going to be a productive meeting? I think it's excellent that they know that there's issues and they want to address them and work with the Sheriff's Department to get that as under control as it can be. I will point out, as the Planning Board pointed out to us, that New York State DOT signed off that there would be no traffic impacts from opening Chick-fil-A or the 7th Brew. Just
Sundays.
Yes.
On Sundays, it won't be Sundays are good.
Okay.
But Sunday, no.
I appreciate everyone's sense of humor.
What's the meeting on Thursday?
On Thursday, let me look, Gary.
You should hire the 7th Brew kids.
Right. They almost had me go away in that line.
You didn't go in there?
No. I was not going to wait all day at Planet Fitness.
Yes.
You did?
Say,
was it where? I got in there with you.
They're coming here.
I'm leaving to go to Alabama that day, but I'll see if I can make it.
Okay, very good.
What's the estimated opening date now for the bridge? Did you get any information about that?
Yeah, but people were kind of laughing about that. It's November, and they said, but why do they even give an estimate when it never comes true at all? They're 300 and some days, almost 400 days behind schedule here, even worse than Albion. Albion's open this week.
Yeah, Albion opens
on that week. Yeah, is that it? So now I want to bring up another topic. We've had an informal meeting with someone who would like to put another solar farm in our town. We have in our code what you call incentive zoning. That means that we can ask them for cash or to do a project. We did ask for this when we did rezone this second section of Stonebriar. They haven't pulled their permits yet, but when they do, before they get their building permits, they have to redo those bathrooms at the community center. We have been waiting patiently for that to happen. What I would like to do, incentive zoning is not a easy thing to understand, but the idea is that by having businesses that come here from out of town pay us money, it takes a burden of the taxes off our residents, which from tonight's listening, I think our residents would be in favor of that. So I would like to have, there's a person in Brighton, the town supervisor in Brighton, that's quite an expert in this. I would like him to come to one of our meetings and explain all of incentive zoning to this town board and have a joint meeting with the planning board. Does that seem something feasible?
Yes, but I don't think our residents will also want a solar farm in our town besides when we already
have. Well, our code allows for that, Tyler, and they have to follow a process. We can either vote it up or vote it down at the time, but we do have to follow a process in allowing them. They've just come for an informal meeting. I have no idea whether that will come to fruition. And yes, we would have a public hearing just like we always do and listen to everyone's input. So, there's other things. We could have gotten incentive zoning if we had to rezone for a lot of things. I think it's something we need to start to use more often. Even if somebody needs a variance or anything like that, we could get more money from out-of-town businesses instead of relying on our own tax levy. Would we be interested in hearing about that?
Yeah, but at the same time, is it going to be beneficial for the town with this, something they don't? It's a double-edged sword in that argument. If they don't want it, but it's going to help them out. It's,
I think we should understand
it's not an issue with incentive zoning. I'm having an issue with the solar farm in general.
So
there's other ways to go about that when that's not really going to make the
residents. So incentive zoning doesn't apply just to solar farms.
I understand it, but you brought up solar farms for incentive zoning.
Yeah, I did. And so, they're going to request from us, what do we want for incentive zoning? That's part of the application process, so we should understand that in advance.
That's 100% understandable. However, we should resonate with what our members, we've had a conversation about solar farms here before, and the residents didn't like it. We've had that conversation before. We had a voting on passing, what was it, a referendum of some sort to pay a bill, and a lot of people weren't happy about that. So my point is we can do incentive zoning, let's learn about that, but there's different avenues that we can take that are going to make our residents happy in doing so. Besides just solar farms, there's other options out there. Sure.
I hear what you're saying. So I'm going to invite this person to come to a meeting.
I'm looking forward to that meeting.
Okay, and I think it should be a joint meeting with the planning board so that they understand that. Okay, are we in agreement?
It's fine.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So then, I just want to mention that the new building department personnel is working out very well. They work together well, and they're getting up to speed rather quickly. And I think that is it for me. So, all right, let's start down with Adam. I know we don't want to, we still have the rest of the agenda to get through. So here we go. Go ahead, Adam, how about your report?
This will be quick. Senior programs are picking back up. Adult volleyball, fitness, and dance classes have begun. The annual community health fair is coming up October 8th from 10 a.m. until noon. Then the annual Halloween event is October 23rd, and that goes from 5:30 to 7:15 p.m. Before and after school and instructional sports programs are doing well. That's all I have.
Very good. And your playground. I heard it's kind of a mess right now, but great. Very good. Gary.
Okay. For buildings and grounds, they've been, projects they've been working on, they've been in the process of laying topsoil in the front of the rec center. That's going on now. Up at the rec center, a Boy Scout project is almost completed by Evans Stepanek, and that's a lean-to for the sledding hill. So that's almost completed. They worked on it this past weekend, and I think it's almost all done. It's just a little bit of other additional stuff that has to be completed before it's done. Also up at the rec center, I was informed that they'll be starting construction on a new storage shed for the rec department beginning next week. Out at the park, some things that have been done recently, besides, you know, taking care of the lawn and all the programs out there and the lodge. The skate park was power washed and sealed, so that's done. Natopski Field, the center field fence has been power washed and will be painted next week, weather permitting. Also, as you know, I'm the liaison to the Community Foundation, and Supervisor Hales had touched upon that, and she sent them an update on the park master plan process on Monday, and I put on each of your, in front of you guys, is the what Patty had sent to the foundation, and what their response was today back to the park, to Supervisor Hales and the town board. I would ask you to each take a day or two to look at what Patty has informed us about in regards to the master plan process and what the foundation is requesting us to do between now and 2027. And we can revisit this because we're so busy tonight with other things. Mm-hmm. That we can revisit this maybe possibly the next meeting or
I hope you're the next one. But yeah, the second.
Well, when a meeting, when you come back to.
Sure. I think that's a good
okay.
thing.
Okay. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
So please take a look at this and be prepared to discuss it.
Would we have that conversation in an executive session or a workshop or in here? What would you recommend?
You just put it on as an agenda item. It wouldn't be appropriate to go into executive session over there.
Okay, thank you. That's all I know.
Very good, Jerry. Scott, how are you?
All right. Last month at the conclusion of this meeting, we went over to the library and had a meeting with all municipalities and the library board. It's our annual meeting. There was an overview of the budget for 2026, and I think it was a good meeting and good dialogue between both the director and the participants who were there. It was positive. Summer reading has ended. And surveys are now out, and there was an uptick this past year, this past summer, with middle and high school students who were participating in the volunteer opportunities and attendance. Building usage is up this year, 5 to 7%, but we are seeing a lot of that circulation is down, as more people are going towards digital reading. And so the actual circulation of books has decreased. And then the cost of the e-books, then we got a whole discussion at the last meeting, that has really skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. And so what the library has to pay for subscriptions is just outrageous.
Are there alternatives for that? I know they use that Libby app.
Yes, and we try to take advantage, but we try to take advantage as much as we can for the county services.
Okay.
And then by purchasing book or e-books, you know, it goes into Libby, and so we would participate in there as well. But somehow our residents and whoever has a Seymour library card has priority. Okay. If we own the book, if we own the digital book. But the bad thing is now that these digital books, they are a lease. So you can lease it for a year, then you lose it.
In the past,
when you bought a digital copy, it was yours forever.
Really? It's changed?
Yep, it's changed.
And the
cost is just, and so the Library Association, everyone's up at arms. They're just trying to figure this stuff out. The library's having a server being replaced. It's very antiquated. Sometime this next week, there's October 4th. The foundation is having their after hours event at 7 p.m. and it's open to whoever wants to can attend. It's a little fundraiser. Can you
just share with Patrick and the board? I do agree that was an excellent meeting.
Okay.
The budget presentation.
Mm-hmm. Budget
presentation. And just that we appreciate the rhythm of how the process goes and just the relationship between the library and the municipalities. Jim was involved to getting to this point when we did the lease and the joint operating agreement. It's just so much smoother. And the snapshots last quarter, There was an article about the funding that goes between the town and the village, the towns and the village and the library, and it boils it down that they use our funding basically for operations, and we of course mm-hmm. take care of the building, but they know if they need anything extra that's what they fundraise for, and we've really gotten in such a good rhythm of that. Mm-hmm. And before that article was in the snapshots, Patrick and the board chair looked at that and made sure they were in agreement. So I just feel the process is really smoothed out, and I appreciate their leadership in that, and also just the increased use of the library. From what I understand, their numbers just keep increasing. Mm-hmm.
So if you would just tell them of our appreciation, I think that would be helpful. There's no big capital projects going on over there now. The carpeting they're thinking of next, or?
Yeah, they're thinking of carpeting, and then they're also looking, I did mention this, but to get a quote for space utilization. How they utilize their space and before we start doing a lot of capital.
To have a plan before
you just start.
Yeah, that's how you do that.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Anything else? I forwarded to you the Monroe ambulance reports. Did I forward to you the Monroe ambulance? I will. I'm not absolutely sure I did. I just want you to take a look at those because we haven't gotten them in a long time, and I want to make sure we're getting the service they tell us that they are, because I know you've been helpful to me in that area. Okay Tyler, what's going on?
Spoke with Brian. Since there's been a lack of rain, they've been able to catch up on some other stuff, small projects and repairs, and the list of cemetery needs. Mowing and trimming is still underway, though. Museum, we had cemetery tours about 2 weeks ago. There's about 10 guests that went with Christine Hunt. She did that just with her connection with the location. That was a really good event. I was actually there on Saturday, and I gave out a few tours of the museum and the barn, which was nice. And, Brian was also able to help with some bushes that were kind of in a tough location that he was able to remove out and clean up for us. I've been in touch with David. I actually have I'm going to visit to the dog control location in Hamlet on Thursday this coming week, and we're just going to have some conversations. We've been having some phone calls, but he wants to give me a tour of the location. And that's what I got for us.
Very good. Okay, so now we can move on to the consent agenda. And first resolution is authorizing the maintenance agreement with Imperial Door Controls. This is an annual agreement we signed to take care of our overhead doors. The second one is a resolution authorizing the JCAP grant application. This is for our court that's also, and they're just applying for money that they receive from New York State. So having looked at those, does anyone want either of those items moved to the non-consent agenda? Okay, if not, can I have a motion to approve?
I'll motion.
And a second?
No, sir.
Thanks, Gary and Tyler. All right, any further discussion or questions on those items? Okay, Karen, can you call the roll?
Certainly. Councilperson Marr?
Aye.
Councilperson Sharp?
Aye.
Councilperson Staskowitz?
Aye.
Councilperson Sullivan?
Aye.
Supervisor Hales?
Aye. Okay, moving on to the non-consent agenda. We have the approval of the minutes of our September 9th meeting. And does anybody have any... First of all, can I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
And a second?
I'll second.
Thank you both. And does anybody have any questions, changes, or concerns about those? Okay. If not, Karen.
Councilperson Meyer?
Aye.
Councilperson Sharp?
Abstain.
Councilperson Staskowitz?
Aye.
Councilperson Sullivan?
Aye.
Supervisor Hales?
Aye. The next item is the payment of the bills, and for this month, the regular operating bills is $103,687. The capital invoices are substantial, $324,000, and there's a truck. All of those are within the budget and or are coming from reserves, and we've already approved the purchase of them. So now they have been delivered, and it's time to pay for them. So can I have a motion to approve the payment of bills?
I'll make a motion.
Thanks, Gary. And a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any comments or concern about any of those? If not, Karen, can you call the roll?
Sure. Councilperson Marr?
Aye.
Councilperson Sharp?
Aye.
Councilperson Staskowitz?
Aye.
Councilperson Sullivan?
Aye.
Supervisor Hales?
Aye. And having heard the comments from our public hearing, we're now going to consider the adoption of local law for this year to override the tax levy limit. And again, this is just to have the option to do that. So can I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Thanks, Gary. And a second?
No second.
Very good. Any further discussion or comment before we vote? Okay, Karen.
Councilperson Marr.
Aye.
Councilperson Sharp?
No.
Councilperson Staskowitz?
Aye.
Councilperson Sullivan?
Aye.
Supervisor Hales?
Aye. All right. So we have one additional item. I gave you your manila envelopes courtesy of Heidi, and we're just going to hit the highlights the very highlights of the budget before we present it. This is the tentative budget, so it's the first run at this. And you can see the summary. This has the detail of what we've talked about tonight, that the tax cap limit would be that our tax levy would be $3.2 million. You can see two columns over from that. That's that $132,000 I kept referring to during the public hearing. The next page gives us the assessed valuation summary. You can see that inside the village, those assessed valuations have gone up about $40,000. Outside the town, outside the village, they have gone up about $80,000. And for the town and the village, it's a total of the two of those. So estimated state aid is zero. Our equalization rate, that's the amount that I talk about for our reassessment. We're at 100%. Then we have the statement of bond indebtedness. This just says the amount of all of our outstanding bonds and the budgeted payments that need to be made and what will be outstanding after that, those payments. We are required to give a schedule of the elected officials. I'm not absolutely sure that that is due tonight, but we're going to do it anyway. We've given each one of the elected officials, the town supervisor, the four council people, the town justices, we'll get back to that in a minute, the highway superintendent and the tax receiver are each receiving a 2% tax increase. The rest, the other item I want to talk about is for our town clerk. We're adding $5,000 to her salary, just as we made the mid-year salary adjustments more towards market. We feel that this is fair for her position, that we want to add that money to hers. It's actually $5,000, I believe, and $91 that she's receiving as an increase. And we couldn't do that during the year because you can't change an elected official's salary once the budget is set. So let's go back to the town justices. I believe that each of you received in your mailbox a memo from the two judges that asked that their 2% increase, they were going to waive that and they would like that given to their clerk. So their salaries will remain at the 2025 level. I'm assuming we want to go by their request. All right, so then the next 41 pages are the details of the budget. So to say that Heidi and I have gone through this thoroughly several times, that, and we will again, but the highlights of what the increases are, I reviewed during the public hearing. We can talk about those again if you want me to refresh your memory. But because this is the tentative budget, we can still make changes. But once we present on the 14th of October the preliminary budget and set the public hearing, we can only make minor tweaks after that because that's what we're presenting to the public. We can't change it after we call that public hearing. So if anyone, I would ask you to review this, and if you see something that seems out of line or that we've missed, certainly bring it to our attention because just going through this, it's a lot of details and you can miss something or question why something has increased or decreased. We would welcome those questions, and I would just email the entire board and Heidi at the same time with any questions so we're all on the same page. So that is the presentation of the budget. And now that we've, does anybody have any questions or comments?
Are we still waiting on the health insurance?
Yes.
Like just even a meeting with a broker?
That's going to be next week or maybe next week because they don't have the rates yet. They still don't have those rates.
Right.
So as soon as the broker has those rates, she's going to schedule that meeting
okay.
that we talked about
yes,
in the last
right.
week. I know you want to be included. So I'm certainly hoping that we have that meeting before October 3rd because I'll be out of town.
Yeah, even ideas of what
right.
was going,
exactly.
and even if you use different percentages, and then knowing that they can change, but at least
I believe we built. We went over this so many times. I believe we built a 20% increase in healthcare into this, thinking that we could save a little money by our new matrix of things that we plan on offering, but we still felt we had to be safe in that, in those.
I'm sorry, what is that? You built in a 20% increase?
Don't make me swear to that. I think we did. Because even though they...
Because they're asking for 24.
They're asking for 24, but we want to offer different options, and yeah.
And those options, would you believe those options would reduce it down to 20%?
Yes, we do.
We don't believe that... You don't think there's a chance that they're not going to get their 24%?
You know what? We used to count on the fact they wouldn't get that, and now in the last 2 or 3 years, they've gotten every bit of what they asked for. What are you saying? That
what I'm saying is that it went up last year and went up the previous year in double-digit numbers.
Yeah, I think last year was 18. Gary, I'm right there with you, but we'll have to see what happens.
Okay.
And that's why this is a tentative budget, and that's why when people were asking, what are you going to go, we don't know that yet, and that's a big number in here.
So if we go with a new broker, you're thinking that may bring down the cost to the town by 4% overall compared to the 24%.
Different options.
Different options. Including looking at the buyout option. I think
I'm a little naive. I would have think that it would come down a little bit more than that.
So don't make me swear that it's 20% that's built into this, and we're hoping that. Yeah. We are absolutely hoping for that.
Depends what we want to hold.
Yeah,
it depends.
On that note, I am supposed to file this with the town committee. I should care.
That's okay.
Thank you. So you so see much. That has been done as part of the process. And does anybody, I really encourage you, there's, I think our last town magazine from the Association of Towns is all about budgets. Mm-hmm. I would review this in conjunction with reviewing it, which is the process I will use myself the final time around. So, and then please keep the conversation going between meetings, between the six of us. If you have any questions or have any suggestions, we Heidi and I would more than welcome those. So I think that we are, unless there's any other comments or concerns about the budget, I just want to make the comment that I will not be here on October 14th. I'll be out of town, and Scott will be running that meeting as the deputy, and I'm sure he can handle it. So, all right, with that... There's not any other business. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll motion.
And a second?
I'll second.
All right. All in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. That's the longest meeting I've ever done.